when sorrows encompass me round, many distresses I see. Astonished I cry, can a mortal be found surrounded with troubles like me? Surrounded with troubles like me. Few seasons of peace I enjoy, and they are succeeded by pain. If there are a few moments of praise I employ, I have hours and days to complain. Hours and days to complain. Oh, when will my sorrow subside? Oh, when will my suffering cease? Oh, when to the bosom of Christ be conveyed, to the mansions of glory and bliss. Mansions of glory and bliss. May I be prepared for that day when Jesus shall bid me remove, that I may in rapture go shouting away to the arms of my heavenly love. Arms of my heavenly love. My spirit to glory convey, my body lay low in the ground. I wish not a tear at my grave to be shed, but all join in praising around. All join in praising around. No sorrow be vented that day when Jesus hath called me home. With singing and shouting, let each brother say, he's gone from the evil to come. Gone from the evil to come. Immersed in the ocean of love, my soul like an angel shall sing, till Christ shall descend with a shout from above. Make all creation to ring. Make all creation to ring. Our bodies in dust shall obey, and swifter than thought shall arise. And change in a moment, go shouting away to mansions of love in the skies. Mansions of love.
That's some good old Appalachian style singing and fiddling in the tune called When Sorrows Encompass Me Round. Fiddling and singing done by Betsy Ellis, who is going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana Sunday night for a show at 7 o'clock. And we're pleased to have her back on the show here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. Once we had her live in the studio with a group called The Wilders, and I'm pleased to have her for the second time. Phone conversation. One of these days we'll get you in here, Betsy, for another live segment if we can get you playing on a weekday. Thanks for coming in on the phone.
Well, I'm happy to be here, Kevin. Thank you. And I do really enjoy your studio, so believe me, it's a priority to get back there in person.
Well, as I said, the first time I encountered you was with a group called The Wilders. You still play with them, don't you?
Well, the Wilders are currently on break.
Oh, they are,
so
okay.
We've not broken up, and so, yes, I still play with them, although we're not actively seeking bookings right now. However, we are playing this summer at the Calgary Folk Festival next month, so that should be very exciting. We haven't played in Calgary before, and they asked us to come, and we said, sure. But after about 16 years, we decided, let's do some other things for a while.
And for you, it's a lot of solo playing, because you're coming to the, you're doing this gig just by yourself, plus about three instruments and your voice. And I always wonder how that feels to a performer when it's just you on the stage, nobody else. The recording that we'll hear a little bit more of later has more than just you. So usually people are with at least one other person. Do you feel this? You know, I gather you do it often enough. You don't feel overly lonely out there.
No, I don't feel lonely, especially when there are people to watch me play. But, this has been, a work in progress. During the last 3 or 4 years of the active time of the Wilders, since the early days, it was not uncommon for any of us to do a solo number in the middle of a show. Most often it would be myself or a singer, Ike Sheldon. And I came to really enjoy the challenge of fending for myself alone on the stage. But truly, I mean it, working with the audience and feeling the audience, whether they were actively participating, I might ask them, if they feel like singing along, and that could always be fun, or just to interact with them from that position is really fulfilling. And so when the band decided to take a break, I thought, I think I'm up for the challenge of doing more of this, and can I do a whole set? Can I do a whole show? And I think so. I've performed on a lot of different stages, anything from a house concert to a festival stage, and it's really it's invigorating. And I don't feel lonely, but I am very aware that it's all up to me. And there are some good heroes in that line, and especially even on the fiddling side of things. I'm a really big fan of the late great John Hartford, and he could captivate an audience just by himself on a stage. And he's actually one of the predominant performers I think about when I'm preparing to go up there on stage. It's a great challenge, and I'm having fun with it.
Well, that's certainly pretty obvious. Let me ask you about the tune that we opened with. I characterize it as an Appalachian or pronunciation style tune. I know you do a lot of originals. I know you do some source material. Which one was that?
Well, it's actually a combination of both. It's interesting to talk about that. I first learned that song, When Stars Encompass Me Around, from Tommy Jarrell, who was a North Carolina fiddler, Appalachian style fiddler and singer, and he's one of the great proponents of singing with the fiddle. I was captivated by the lyrics of the song, and I tried to learn it, but the way the melody worked with the lyrics was something that I struggled with, or I kind of felt like maybe I wanted to be open to see if something else would come in as far as harmonies and melodies go. So one day I was considering those lyrics and had my fiddle in a little bit different tuning than I normally play in on my cross-tuned fiddle, and something came, and I worked on it a bit, but I tried to go with the flow. So it's new melody, new chord structure, and then those old lyrics, which are from an old hymnal that would be sort of like the shape note singing hymnals. It was a little bit different one. But so it's a combination. I allowed myself to have the creative side as well as staying true to what I feel like is the essence of that song, and hopefully doing something that highlights the power of those lyrics.
Now, you said fiddling and singing. I'm trying to think if I have ever seen anyone do both simultaneously. Of course, on a recording, you can do anything you want. Can one fiddle and sing at the same time?
Well, absolutely, and I mean, that's how I recorded that, and that's how I perform it.
Well, then how do you do it? How do you do it physically? I don't think I've seen it.
Well, let's see. Well, Tim O'Brien is a great practitioner of that. You don't see him play fiddle as often, but he does do that. Gosh, you ought to hear his Working on a Building. It's pretty stunning. Bruce Molsky, Brad Leftwich, Indiana fiddler Brad Leftwich, are other practitioners of this. Alice Gerard, too. So what you, I mean, basically, if you don't hammer your chin down too far into the chin rest, then you've got room to move your jaw, and you just simply balance the fiddle a little bit more on your collarbone. At least that's what I do, and which I do a lot of the time anyway, because I feel like it gives me a nice balance. If I'm mashing my chin into the chin rest, I'm a little bit out of alignment, I feel. So I'm always trying to be approaching the instrument ergonomically, and it works out great. It's basically getting into singing with the fiddle is a coordination challenge to begin with. It's different from strumming a guitar, of course, or even doing different banjo styles and singing along with it. But it's something that used to be very, very common when fiddles were one of the predominant instruments you'd find in the home for casual entertainment and for just, you know, solo playing, whether it was public or just at home with the family. So singing with the fiddle goes way back. In fact, Pa Ingalls from the Little House on the Prairie books, he used to sing, Laura Ingalls Wilder wrote about that. He would sing songs like Buffalo Gals while backing himself up on the fiddle. Wish we had some recordings of those.
Well, we have you right now, so that's perfectly
that's
fine.
That's right.
Well, now I'm going to have to look out for this. You know, it seems to me usually when I've seen somebody with a fiddle and then sing, it's usually they put the fiddle down and then sing and then stop and then pick up the fiddle again. So I just have probably missed it somewhere along the line. But in any event, nice job.
Thank you.
With that one. And nice job, too, capturing that particular style of, you know, shape note singing, sacred harp singing. I guess there's other terms for it as well.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, here's something completely different compared to that. Well, maybe I shouldn't even say completely. A tune that is called Straight to Hell. And it starts with what sounds like you tuning up a little bit, as well as doing a little scratching around on the instrument. So it strikes me as a little bit of a reinvention of a fiddle tune, a reinvention of that older style of playing. What did you have in mind? I gather this is your composition.
Oh no! Straight to Hell is a Joe Strummer song.
Oh, is it really?
The Clash recorded this. Yeah, it's on Combat Rock, and so it's something that I call part of my collection of personal folk music. It's music that I heard in my developmental years that stuck with me throughout all my different musical phases, and especially in my solo pursuits. I look for material that I write, but I pull from the old traditional material to perform, but basically anything that speaks to me, I want to try to find a way to get it out there. And this song, Straight to Hell, is something that holds deep meaning for me, and I think it's a very powerful social statement. I have made it my own, but I've stayed pretty true to the melody, and then what I tried to do was take the whole sound of the recording from The Clash and get it across the best I could with that singing and fiddling style. That, you know, it's just a different approach from what we heard on the first number here today. But that's something that I've been performing solo over the last 2 or 3 years now. And when it came time to make a recording, you know, there are different approaches to recording, of course. Sometimes you want to capture just exactly what you do every time you're performing. And that's valid. I totally get that. I've done that lots of times with the Wilders in our early years. And then there's the approach to recording where you can do things, you purposely want to do things that you cannot reproduce live, whether you have a whole band or not. And so I was excited to take the opportunity with this song that means so much to me and that I just absolutely love performing live, and do it primarily as a duet with the drummer, John Kraft, who played on this album with me. And then I had the feeling that I wanted to give more of my sounds to it. So at the beginning, the tuning sounds are harmonics played on a cello. On both of my solo albums, I've recorded string quartet parts on certain numbers to give a more of a symphonic kind of sound, and ones that I felt like would be helped by a string group. So I felt like that was a powerful choice to make for this song, Straight to Hell. So the cellos come in and out throughout, and you hear a little bit of piano in there too for some texture. Didn't get too many instruments going on it, but there are quite a few layers a couple times with the bowed strings, since that's what I love to do. So this is interpretive. You know, Straight to Hell is a song from a band that people think of normally as a punk rock band, but my stance, and I'll talk to anybody about it for hours, is that Joe Strummer was a folk singer, and his songs have at least as much meaning now, if not in some cases more meaning than they did when they were first recorded.
Hmm. Tell me the name of your drummer again.
Jonathan Kraft.
Kraft, what, K-R-A-F-T?
It is K-R-A-F-T. We call him Crafty.
Yeah, well, why not? It's some crafty drumming here with fiddler and vocalist Betsy Ellis from her new CD called High Moon Order, just out, earlier this month, I guess. What, last week?
It's brand new.
Yeah, and you're hearing it here probably for the first time, I'm guessing, most of the folks out there, unless you're diehard Betsy Ellis fans and you ran out and got it the first time you could. She's going to be at the Iron Post in Urbana Sunday night at 7 o'clock for a solo show, and we're talking to her here on Live and Local.
Let me tell you about your blood bamboo.
most likely any frontier, any hemisphere. No man's land. And there ain't no asylum here. King Solomon never lived around here.
That's called Straight to Hell, a Joe Strummer tune, as reinterpreted by Betsy Ellis. She's the fiddler, and also, are you also the cellist and the other strings that are in the background?
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
All the bowed strings are by me.
And the vocalist and then drummer Joe Kraft? No.
John Kraft.
John Kraft.
But, you know, you call him Joe.
Joe
you
Strummer, Joe John Kraft. There we go. Betsy's
CD.
Yes, from Betsy's CD, High Moon Order. And she's joined us here on Live and Local. She'll be in Urbana for a show on Sunday night. And I wanted to ask you just real briefly, partly because I've asked this of a few other people lately, it seems like. You started out as a classical violinist, at least through some age. What age did you consider yourself classical?
Oh, yeah, from age 6. To age 21, the last couple of years, I studied violin all the way through college, went to the Conservatory of Music at University of Missouri, Kansas City. That's what took me to Kansas City from Fayetteville, Arkansas. And the last couple of years of that time is when I began experimenting with different styles, ranging from, I was exposed to a lot of jazz, you know, in Kansas City, that's very natural, and blues as well, and experimental music. But that first 15 years was predominantly classical for me. I'm not going to say exactly how many years it is since then, but it's more than that.
I'm less interested in that part than I am in the former part. I mean, just for the purposes of this discussion, because I wondered, what did you sort of turn away from classical because you became especially interested in these other styles, or because classical just wasn't doing it for you anymore, or what?
Aha. Well, that's a good one. I didn't turn away from it because of any style. It was based on, well, first was opportunity. I graduated from the conservatory, and I wasn't, at that time, I had decided, well, I don't think I want to try to go into a career playing in a symphony. What I learned during, and I went into college thinking that. I thought, well, I'll be a violinist in the symphony, whether Kansas City or somewhere else. But as I went through school, I realized more and more that small ensembles is what really spoke to me. So my string quartet, I had a lot more fun with that, for example, although I loved playing in the orchestras at the conservatory, I found small groups gave me more satisfaction and a great learning curve. So at the time, I didn't even think of it necessarily as turning away from classical. I felt like I was continuing whatever kind of musical studies that were calling to me at the time. And honestly, when I got out of college, I wanted to be in a rock and roll band, so that's what I did. At the same time, I played experimental music and founded my first two bands. I joined an existing rock band, and then I founded two acoustic bands, one of which went from a duet to gradually becoming the Wilders. So I guess I never really thought of it as turning away from classical. I just was thinking of a continuing musical path and maybe taking a turn on that path. But it continues, even to now. I call upon my classical instruction in my ongoing development as a musician. I feel like I had a really great grounding in that music, and I had inspiring teachers whose lessons stay with me now, and I think I try to pass that on sometimes to my own students, because I'm not teaching classical style, but I'm utilizing a lot of classical technique in order to have an ergonomic approach to the instrument and an efficient approach as well.
Well, I often have thought that the fiddlers I have heard personally who I know have a strong classical background do make an especially lovely fiddling sound, and in addition to, you know, the traditional technique and approaches and so on, there's a sound to it that a non-classically trained fiddler usually can't approach because they don't have that kind of training. In any event, it's a sound I sort of like the combination of the two. And the tune, I'm not playing any of the tunes off of High Moon Order that sound a little more rock-ish, but there are some of those, and people can check those out on the record. And I don't know if they'll turn up on your show Sunday because, guitar, bass, and drums probably helps. We should say that Betsy's going to bring her tenor guitar. What's a tenor guitar?
It is a four-string guitar, and they were a little bit more common in the 1930s and 40s, maybe into the 50s, actually. It's my version of a guitar. Six strings is two strings too many for my personal taste, for what I like to do. And so it is my main songwriting vehicle. I write, tunes on the fiddle, and I do write some songs on the fiddle. But, the songs on the incorporate a full band on this album were all written, well, actually one was written on the piano, the others were written on tenor guitar, but I do perform them solo, because before I ever had the sound of a band in my head for them, I was working on presenting them in a solo manner. It's just they're different on the album, so that's something that I'm interested in as well, is the minimalism of just a voice and an instrument, and perhaps challenging ears a little bit, because people are used to hearing a solo singer with a six-string guitar, but I'm playing my four-string guitar in a little bit different tuning, and so it has more of a drone-type sound, and it's like I said, it's a minimalistic approach.
Well, it's also approach that I think people will really enjoy hearing you explore, or simply exploring with you if it's a new approach to them. Betsy Ellis on fiddles and guitar, and of course with her voice on Sunday night, 7 o'clock, The Iron Post in Urbana. And her new record out just last week is High Moon Order. That's what we're hearing these tunes from. And here's one of her own compositions. I picked it because it's got the full band here, and it's sort of a nice, upbeat, happy tune. Long time to get there. Besides the drummer, John Kraft, who else is in your band here?
Well, I have a different acoustic band from the electric band. So this lineup here with the acoustic string band, I've got a guy named Mike Horan on acoustic gucitar, who's also a guitar luthier and repairman at Mass Street Music in Lawrence, Kansas. He's a great bluegrass player, but he knows how to play fiddle as well, so he does great on old-time fiddle tunes. And then my banjo player is a good friend of mine from Johnson City, Tennessee. His name is Roy Andrade. And people who are string band fans may remember, hopefully do remember, the band called the Real Time Travelers. Roy was a member of that. And we're working on some other projects these days, including the new Real Time Travelers. And my bass player is my violin or slash fiddle luthier, J.J. Hansen, J.J. Yukon Jimmy Don Hansen, who has just a really energetic and creative approach to playing the upright bass. And we had a blast doing this recording in the studio. We kept playing the tune for about 7 minutes total. I had the idea to fade it out anyway because nobody does that. Nobody fades out a fiddle tune. So I thought, this would be fun. And since it does reference kind of a journey, long time to get there, it's really about the journey rather than the destination, perhaps. And I think that's what get to with a fade out on a tune like this.
Betsy Ellis, long time to get there. Betsy, thanks very much for joining us on Live and Local.
Thank you, Kevin. It was fun.
Thank you.
That's a tune called Long Time to Get There. Betsy Ellis wrote it, she played the fiddle, and her band joined from her brand new CD called High Moon Order. Here on Live and Local on FM 90.9, she will be at the Iron Post in Urbana Sunday night for a solo show at 7 o'clock. Our broadcast today is made possible in part by a grant from the Meredith Foundation dedicated to supporting the musical arts in performance and presentation. Illinois Public Media will close out its fiscal year in just a few days, which is to say on Sunday, and we're getting very close to our year-end fundraising goal of $2.1 million. Very close indeed. You could be the supporter to put us over the top. Help us finish strong by calling 217-244-9455 or by donating online right now at willpledge.org. The phone number again, 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. Every contribution will make a real difference, and I'll say thank you very much in advance. Next on our show, live in the studio, is a group that is called Urbana Sound Cloud. They're going to be playing tomorrow night at Bouvon's Wine Bar in Urbana. Bouvon's becoming an increasingly active place for music of various kinds. Tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. And they are at least today anyway, a quintet. We'll find out a little bit more about their history and what they've got coming up. Clarinetist Nathaniel Ruiz, vocalist Lorraine Finkel, flutist Tom Painter, although he's sitting at the piano right now. He's actually got the flute on the piano. Guitarist Will Kubitis and percussionist Robert Sena. Thank you all very much for coming in, and thank you especially, Nathaniel, for, I guess, filling me in on the group a little bit.
No problem.
Urbana SoundCloud, been around since when? Will.
Will, yeah, my name's Will Kubitis. I've been recording songs with Tom Painter and a percussionist named Chad Dunn at Mark Rule Studio for the last 2 years. And at some point, we wanted to go out and do some live performing. And so in January or so, we got Tom introduced me to Nathaniel, who is an excellent clarinet player and composer. And we got a band together as fast as we could to do some songs, to do some of the compositions I wrote and some of the compositions that Nathaniel wrote. So it's been about 6 months now.
So you got together with the idea of recording?
Yeah, actually, all of these guys I either am going to bring into the studio or have brought into the studio already. Bass player Sam Peters will be coming into the studio next month, and then Chad Dunn, he's coming into the studio on the 30th of this month. So it's an ongoing project.
So this is more, is it fair to say it's more of a project than it is a group?
It's a recording project, but the thing is, it's real important to play out live, and I believe that. And as much as I really like recording, I know that I have to get on the killing floor, so to speak, and at least make an effort to bring the music out live, because a recording is just such a different creature, and live playing is a lot more exciting. I don't know, there's an electricity between the audience and the band that I like. So as much satisfaction as I get out of recording at Mark Rubel Studio, I think the live playing, although it's hard work, and there's not a lot of money involved with playing some venues, it's still a lot of fun to do, and really important, I think, for the musicians.
And I suppose it depends how you go about recording, how well you capture the live experience.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah, there's lots of different ways to do that.
In fact, I think Betsy Ellis, who I just talked with on the first part of the show, addressed that a little bit in talking about how she has approached some things, because you can go either way. You can decide that the recording's going to be its own entity, or it's going to try to recreate the band. Well, we have you guys live, so that's what we're going to be hearing today, and we might as well hear a first sample. Who wants to introduce the tune?
This is a song called Black Orpheus, and today Lorraine Finkel will be singing.
This is not one of your compositions.
No.
I was going to say, this is one I've heard of.
Yes, that's true. That's true.
By?
Louis?
Louis Bonfa.
Yeah.
Say again?
Louis Bonfa.
Ah, yeah, okay.
She can pronounce it better than me.
Oh, you can do just fine.
It's also a good movie. Kind of cryptic movie.
Black Orpheus, as soon as you started, of course, I knew exactly what that tune was, but I never really knew what it was called. Luis Bonfa, the name of the composer, right? Did I say that right?
Yeah.
And played here by Urbana SoundCloud live in our studio. They're going to be at a Bouvon's Wine Bar in Urbana tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock. Lorraine Finkel, the vocalist. Guitarist is Will Kubitis. On the keyboards, Tom Painter. Clarinetist Nathaniel Ruiz. And on percussion, Robert Sena. What's the drum you were playing, Robert?
This instrument is originally from Brazil, and it's called Zabumba.
Zabumba?
Zabumba.
That's because not one of the ones I had on my list.
Yeah, you know.
So I didn't look it up.
Play instruments, people would be very interested to know what's... Especially for play one kind of song from northeast of Brazil called Forró. One good musician from there called Luiz Gonzaga introduced this instrument in the group, you know. He was a musician, but pretty famous in Brazil for playing this kind of music called Forró. And... They call him King of Forró, and he played accordion, and he have the zabumba on one side, and the other side, triangle, you know. And I bring from Brazil, you know, the instruments, and not bring usually. My father-in-law have the zabumba at home, because he's musician on, you know, was professor in UEVI. And I teach musicology, Thomas Torino. He also a musician in town. And he, you know, he showed me the zabumba. I just fell in love with the instrument. And now I play with my friends here.
Yeah, play with
these
guys.
A bit, yeah.
Well, I'll just describe it for the listeners. It really looks like a slightly tall snare drum.
Yeah, because, you know.
Without the snares on the bottom, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And then what's the thing that's on the top? Looks like a big Band-Aid.
Yeah, it's for make the usually percussionists use this thing for make the song different, you know, like the I don't know how to say my English knows, you know, and but this is all some instruments like pandeiro also have some
to dip
inside also,
yeah,
you know, like
it's a little mute.
Yeah, exactly, make the song no so
a little softer.
Yeah, a little softer, you know.
Yeah,
and,
dampening it.
It's funny, but works very well.
Yeah, well, it certainly fits with the. With that relatively low-key song, you know, a nice little quiet percussive bed to it. Nathaniel, when you sent me the description of the group, you just called it a Bossa Nova Samba Band, but that seems to be slightly selling it short, maybe, at least according to the videos that I saw on the website for the group. Is that, and reading the description of the recording project, looks like you're... thinking about things beyond those two genres. Yes? No?
We started out originally with my tunes. What happened was I want to branch out into more authentic versions of Brazilian music.
So your tunes were
my tunes were kind of like
by or?
Originally when I started playing guitar, I was a jazz major for a long time, and but I was into ragtime finger picking like Leo Kottke, and what happened was I got into Brazilian rhythms because I found that there were similarities between the alternating bass line that those guitar players do and the syncopated lines that Brazilian guitar players do. And I was experimenting with combining those two things. And what happened was I ended up writing a bunch of songs out of this experimentation. But the songs are very Americanized kind of samba. I ended up a long time going to see Desafinado and met Elise Arts, and I became interested in artists like Maria Rita, who is a pop artist in Brazil, and I also met Robert at a party, at Elise Arts' party, and he introduced me to a whole new type of music, which is just fantastic, the music of the northern Brazilian music.
Yes, the northern musicians. Musicians can introduce the forró, also this style of music. There are also some music, because usually people in the world think Brazil just play bossa nova, you know, just have very many kind of, you know, the kind of music there. And people just, because Tom Jobim, you know, play with Frank Sinatra, you know, and I introduced the bossa nova to Frank Sinatra, and the, you know, the bossa nova was a little bit influenced for the jazz, or, you know, and in Brazil you have other musicians called Jorge Benjor. Jorge Benjor is the guy who made the song Mais Que Nada, you know, and the song was recorded for Ella Fitzgerald and Black Eyed Peas more recently, you know. But anybody knows the guy, you know, just introduce him some different kind of music, you know.
But we were discussing it's how similar this northern music was to like the rock. We were talking about how while rock and roll was being invented in the U.S., new music with similar beats was being invented in Brazil at the same time, and a lot of Americans think that the heavy one on the one and three. Rock beat is their invention, but there was a lot of similar things going on in Brazil coming out of the exact same cultural phenomena, the slave trade and things like that. So I find the rhythms fascinating because I'm so used to the American rhythms, I'm kind of bored by them. And so Nathaniel has contributed a whole new aspect to this because he's from Puerto Rico. And he's an excellent composer. And he introduced me to a couple of his songs, and I found them to be fantastic. So we tried one at one gig, and now we're going to try to work more of those songs in and work some more more authentic Brazilian sounds into our sound.
Since you mentioned a couple of times your compositions and Nathaniel's compositions, are we going to hear any of those today?
Yes, we're going to hear primarily Nathaniel's compositions. If we run out of tunes tomorrow, Bouvans, I will sing some of my compositions.
Well, maybe we'll make sure we have time to hear one today. Let's see how it goes.
You could.
What are we going to do next?
Yeah, you could try. we'll.
I can always try, and you can say no.
No, I'm prepared. I'm prepared to do one of them. I just think, Well, I've got Nathaniel and Robert here. I like to do something a little more authentic, because mine is what I call it. I call it
neo samba.
I call it Mickey Mouse jazz because it's kind of like it's jazz, but it's like really easy, you know, changes and things like that. And whereas Nathaniel is a real jazz composer, he writes real jazz changes.
So are we doing one of his right now?
Yes. Nathaniel, I'll let you announce it if you want to say anything about it.
This tune is Caimito Paraíso, and I think we'll just play it. I think we talked enough now. Just play this.
Urbana SoundCloud live on Live and Local on FM 90.9. SoundCloud here on Live and Local, Lorraine Finkel on vocals. It's Nathaniel Ruiz's tune. He's a clarinetist. What's the name of it again?
Caimito Paraíso. Caimito is the name of Lorraine's town in Puerto Rico, in the mountains. It's just right outside of San Juan.
And Paraíso?
Paradise.
Yeah, I actually wrote the lyrics for this one, and I was kind of inspired by coming here and experiencing the winter for the first time, which I hadn't experienced
Lovely,
before.
Huh?
So amazing. I was like thinking about my hometown, which I just took for granted, and then I'm like, oh, it's so nice there
and,
with the mountains.
During which winter did you get here?
Actually, just past winter.
The mild winter, the most mild.
And it was a mild winter.
Totally, this is nothing.
This is nothing. I'm like freezing because I grew up in Puerto Rico, and it's like 80 or 90 degree weather.
Oh, you'd have loved last summer here then.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I love the summer. That's my kind of weather.
Yeah, for quite a while. Well, we're getting into it right now. Tom Painter was on, for a while, one-handed flute, left-handed flute, while he was also playing a right-handed on the piano. And got both hands on the flute at some point. Will Kabaitis guitar and Robert Sena on the percussion. What were you playing on that one? I've already forgotten what you had.
Here? Small one or
that's a tiny little tambourine. Bumba, yeah, no, the tiny little tambourine. Oh, that's the bandero? Is that what you call it?
Yeah, let's show you how, you know. They have two sides. One side.
Yeah.
This other side.
Were you doing both of those on that song?
Yeah, you know.
Plus the bandero? All this, what was I paying attention to?
Okay,
there you go. Okay, good demonstration. They're going to be at Bouvon's Wine Bar in Urbana tomorrow for a show at 6 o'clock until about 8 o'clock. And Will mentioned earlier the band Desafinado, which is a local band that mostly does Brazilian music, also. Elise Arts is their vocalist, and they're going to be at Bouvon's, I think, just after you guys, 9 o'clock.
Yeah, which is great. Elise actually came to our practice and she's a really supportive of the band, so I really like that the two bands are playing together. It's been really positive.
And we've had them on a couple of times, I think, which I certainly appreciated. Speaking of appreciation, I wanted to say some thanks to folks here. Specifically, anybody who's made a financial gift to Illinois Public Media over the last 12 months, you helped us make a real difference in the community. We feel like we do that on Live and Local. And you've made it possible for listeners throughout Central Illinois not only to enjoy countless hours of great live local music coverage, but also all the other services that this station provides as well. I'm pleased to share with you that on June 30th, I'm not supposed to read this yet. I'm reading. I have my instructions wrong. This is a very hopeful announcement that we will exceed our fundraising goal for Rich Ends On. I'm supposed to read this starting next Monday. So with any, I don't read my mail properly.
There's an undo
but
button.
With any, unfortunately, this is live radio, so there's no such thing as undo. But in any event, we're certainly hopeful that we will indeed exceed that fundraising goal. We've been coming very, very close to it, as I mentioned earlier, and you can help take care of that by going to willpledge.org. So enough of that. We'll come back to that on Monday, and I'll read my mail a little more carefully. Perhaps I was trying to make a little sense of what's on your website here, talking about the club music project. Is that the one you were describing earlier, Will?
Yeah, that's one. You know what? I have a lot of projects, and I'll try to make this quick because I want Lorraine to be able to sing. But I have an electronic dance music project I'm working on. I released a song that Chad Dunn played percussion on called Love Hate Thing, and that was more of a pop music. And I'm also Tom Painter played excellent on it, and that song has done quite well on Spotify and all that. But that's on hold in the band. What I want this band to be is people feeling free to come and go, and I want the band to evolve into what the people and reflect the people that are currently in it. So right now I'm hoping to hold on to Robert because he has a great voice and a great stage show, and I want to work with him, and I'm hoping to hold on to Nathaniel and Lorraine and concentrate on that right now.
Well, as long as everybody sticks around, right? The thing about, you know, this is a very transient community. I know Tom works at the university. What do the rest of you do? I mean,
I work in Common Ground Food Co-op.
Co-op, sorry.
Yes.
And Nathaniel, are you still a student?
I'm working at the co-op also.
Also working
actually,
at the
co-op. All three of us are.
Yeah.
So you're all...
we are very welcome.
Meaning you're trying to work your way through school, or you finish school and you're just trying to stick around?
Perhaps I will go back to school to study. I've got a plan to pursue an education degree, I think, and eventually start my own music school. So
we got a few of those around here. I don't know if you mean to do that right here.
maybe with some different ideas.
Luck with that project, yeah. And then, Will, what are you doing besides recording stuff?
Oh, right now, I just want to do music. I was an accounting graduate, and I spent 5 years doing accounting, and that's when I met Tom and started recording with him, and I lost my job in Springfield, and just due to cutbacks, and so
these
right
things
now...
things happen a lot.
Yeah, it's happened a lot lately, but I was like, you know what, I was never happy doing this anyway. I want to go back to trying to do music, so I'm trying to make up for lost time.
Okay. What do we have next?
You know, I'm from Brazil, like everybody know, and I got here 3 years ago, and because my wife, she's from here, Champaign-Urbana, and I just go back to school again because I want to improve more my English. When I moved to here, I didn't speak anything. Maybe people talk about me, by me, I just smile to everyone. My communication was just smile. You know?
When in doubt, smile. Well,
yeah.
Better than good smile.
That's good advice.
And, you know,
better than the alternative.
My goal now is to make my English better, you know, writing, read. Because speaking is easier to learn, but write and read is my, you know, my thing. Also, after that, I want to take a degree in physical education. I did that in Brazil. Physical education there. I want to get this degree over here. Or maybe teach in high school to kids. I love kids also. And I love sport and I love music.
You combine it all.
Yeah.
Combine it all. Corcovado is what I saw.
Oh, yeah, yes, that's right.
Okay. Thank you.
para soñar. De Janela Versio Corcovado, o Redentor, que lindo. Quero em vida sempre assim, com você perto de mim.
SoundCloud, Live on Live and Local. Corcovado, the name of the composition. Now, I know that one, too. Who wrote that one?
That's Jobim.
Oh, that is Antonio Carlos Jobim.
Yeah.
So, Lorraine, your native language is Spanish?
Yes.
And how does Portuguese come to you?
Oh, my dad speaks Portuguese.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he travels a lot to Brazil. And I kind of grew up with Brazilian music. Oh, yeah. My parents were huge fans, so
oh, wow.
That's kind of something I grew up with.
Well, we've had a little bit of a feast in the last number of years of various types of music from Central America, South America, sometimes merging. Mm-hmm. In groups that have come together courtesy of the University of Illinois and how people mm-hmm. come from so many different places. And it's been a treat to hear you guys on the show. Urbana SoundCloud will be in Bouvon's Wine Bar in Urbana tomorrow night from 6 to 8, followed by Desafinado at around 9 o'clock. And they are Lorraine Finkel on vocals, Nathaniel Ruiz clarinet, Tom Painter flute and keyboard, Will Kabaitis on guitar, and Robert Sena on percussion. And as I said, it's been a treat to have you all in here, and hope we'll get to do it again.
Can I say real quick, Chad Dunn will be playing
with
us.
He'll be with you tomorrow?
David Garcia will be with us. Those are two fantastic percussionists. And also Sam Peters
on
will
bass.
Be playing bass.
Yeah, so lots of percussion going on tomorrow night. Should be a great show. Our programs today are made possible with support from the Illinois Shakespeare Festival, presenting Shakespeare's Comedy of Errors and Macbeth, plus Failure, a Love Story by Philip Dawkins, from July 6th through August 10th at Ewing Manor in Bloomington. Ticket information is available at thefestival.org or 309-438-2535. Besides Urbana SoundCloud, here are some other events you can go see and hear live over the next couple of days in our various communities. The Celebration Company at the Station Theater in Urbana is presenting Evil Dead, the musical, at 8 o'clock tonight, and that'll run for a while. Champaign-Urbana Folk and Roots and the Piper's Hut series present Vishten from Canada with Wagon Fire at the Independent Media Center in Urbana this evening at 6:30. Croft and Coleman and friends will be at the Iron Post in Urbana tonight at 7 o'clock. That includes with his dad, Barrington Coleman. The Bloomington Normal Community Concert Band will be at Franklin Park in Bloomington tonight at 7 o'clock. Weather looks okay for that so far. The Jim Markham Swing Band will be at the CEFQ Center Stage in Peoria tonight at 7 o'clock. The Charleston Community Band will be at Kiwanis Park Amphitheater in Charleston tonight at 7:30. Rick Kubitz and Terry Bush are at Krannert Center for their Uncorked series in Urbana, starting in about 45 seconds, supposedly, 5 o'clock. The Blues Brews and Barbecue Festival is in downtown Champaign tomorrow from 5 p.m. till 2 a.m. It's scheduled. And the State Line Band play bluegrass at Kickapoo Landing in Oakwood tomorrow evening at 5:30. This is Live and Local. Here on 90.9 WYL FM and HD Urbana with translator W293 AF Danville, NPR Classical Music, and more for Central Illinois. WYL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. Stay tuned for All Things Considered from NPR. It's 5 o'clock.